all these years that you've been playing, you've been around a lot of people. I know when I, in 1984, you were producing David Lynn Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you got him a record deal and and you introduced me to David Lynn. You've been around a lot of people who've had record deals. Is there anything that you could tell somebody that was new out there that's just starting out in this thing, man, that you think is important to someone about what they should do to better their chances on getting a record deal or getting attention from the industry? Is there any?
This day and time, it's just changed so much, you know, I don't know. Just the only thing I can say is just write a goddamn hit song that nobody can deny.
Right.
You know, if you got that, they can't turn their head to it.
Well, these contests and everything they got now where they can do it in one day.
Oh, man, that's...
Wouldn't you like to have that a few years back, man?
I don't think so, man.
They wouldn't have put us on the show.
No.
We wouldn't have got picked in the first place.
Things like American Idol, man, it's just watering down the music so bad. And if you get on that show, you sell a million copies. You know?
Yeah, you're a star.
And that,
don't have to do none of the living the life or paying the dues or going down the road. Mm-mm. You've toured... I know, all over the United States. Have you done much overseas?
Nope, not too much. Switzerland a couple of times and Spain and Germany.
Did you enjoy that, going over there, playing
for
those folks?
Yeah, it was different, yeah. Most of them was, you know, at bases and things, a lot of them were. But they enjoyed music, yeah. It was neat to see the area.
I agree. When I was playing, the times I've played overseas, man, there's a whole different attitude. A lot of them, they're so into it.
They
sing every word.
Oh, yeah.
They wear their sheriff badges and their cap guns.
I know, yeah. We did this concert in Grindelwald, Switzerland. And, I mean, they showed up in chaps and guns, you know.
Yeah.
And strapped on. Hell, man, there was cowboys and Indians. Some of them had long claws on, man, long braids. It was cool. I'll be damned, look at here. There's some real fans, man.
That is fun. So back when you were, again, with Waylon, you worked with him actually in two different configurations, right? Two different band names.
Yeah. The last one, the Waymore Blues Band, he told me, he said, this is the band I always wanted. Right here, because the horns, he really liked horns. And Jim Horn wrote all the charts and everything for the stuff. God, it was fun. That's something that I think any drummer would want to play with the horn section at some time, because it just adds so much punch and to music, you know. And I'd already written that one off that I'd never do it, and I'll be damned if it didn't come back around.
So how big a band was that? How many pieces?
11 pieces.
11 pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. But the first time around, when you
Whalers.
First... And how big a band was that?
Four piece.
Just four piece.
Yeah.
And that's counting him or with him?
Counting him.
Man, so it was just bass?
Bass, drums, rhythm guitar, and lead.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different picture than 11 piece with horns in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, altogether, how many actual years did you play with Waylon?
About 28, so really, you know.
Yeah. So have you played with Shooter?
I've sat in with him.
Have you?
A couple of concerts. One of the Duke's Hazzard thing.
What's that like? After seeing him be born almost.
You know, it's great because, you know, he started out, you know, kind of Ziggy Pop in his rock and roll. You know, I guess that's a rebellion thing. Anyway, his music went that way, and then he went to L.A. and saw all that, and went right back to country music, you know. Once he got there, I just really started listening. It's great. You can see the influences, you know. Hearing the things that Waylon did, and they were all very simple, really, just kind of intertwined, and he's picked up on it. He's making good records.